front of his enemy. And it is a psalm that very appropriately commences with thanksgiving for God's intervention in his life. And I think that's a good way to start off the new year. It's a good way to start off with thanksgiving and with praise in our heart for God's deliverances to us as his people and as his children. And David wanted to record his gratitude. And this is what Psalm 34 is all about. For God delivering him from his fears and saving him out of all his troubles. And the experience left such a mark upon him. When God delivers you once, you'll never forget it. If God has really done it, you'll never forget it. And if you're assured that the hand of God was on you just at that time when danger surrounded you and death seized upon you and God delivered you from it, it'll mark you for the rest of your life. And that'll be something that you'll want to praise him for the rest of your day. Indeed, for all of eternity. And David said if God could deliver him and save him from all of his fears and his trepidations, then he said he can do it for others. And what God has done for me, God can do for you. That's what David is saying here in Psalm 34. We're going to take the words of verse 8 as our text this evening. Very simply and break it down. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Here we have a wonderful invitation. And it is an invitation that's encapsulated in the senses that we have. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The word taste means to try the flavour of it. Sometimes we taste things and it has no flavour. Or if you've had COVID, you've lost your taste and you're just eating to sustain yourself. It is an awful thing to lose your taste. But here we find David, he's saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's used here in this sense of testing by experience. And the idea is of putting trust in God. The idea is testing the reality of the goodness of God and the mercies of God and to perceive his blessing. So I think that echo is because I'm on here. I'm just going to turn this off. It's all live, so we can't really take away the live part of it, can we? I'll set that aside for a moment. The gospel message is just the same as the invitation of Psalm 34 and verse 8. Taste and see that God is good. This is the invitation that comes to you from the pen of the psalmist David, written many thousands of years ago. He never forgot it, and I want you to never forget it tonight. God's deliverance that he gives to precious souls. If you're present or if you're listening in online tonight or maybe sometime up ahead and you're still unconverted, well, the invitation is still on the table. It's still for you to come and to taste and to see and to experience the goodness and the mercy of God. We were singing about that in our opening praise this evening. God's unnumbered mercies towards our soul. And that's what we want you to come and experience for yourself this very evening. So first of all, as we look at this little text, let's consider the goodness of God explained doctrinally. The goodness of God explained doctrinally. The goodness of God is that very essence of the nature of God himself. Theologians talk about God being essentially, infinitely, perfectly, immutably, and solely good within himself. That's a sermon all within its own self, isn't it? But one of the chief attributes of the persons of the triune Godhead is that of goodness. That of goodness. It's no trite thing to say that our God is a good God. And the devil would want it to be presented in some other way. And the devil would want it to appear as if God is harsh and severe. But we can say as his children tonight, he's a good God. He's one that's good to his own people. God the Father is seen to be good. How? Well, he's seen to be good in the designs that he has toward his people. We sang of that opening hymn. It's one of the greatest hymns, I think, in our hymn book. That even before we were infants, God had a good design for us. He showed mercy toward us. And those eternal plans that he laid away before the foundation of the world, before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, and the great council chambers of eternity, all of the provisions, all of the promises of the Gospels, that they were led and they were put into operation. Why? Because God is a good God. And God had a plan to save some. As Wesley put it, not an amazing thing, Charles Wesley put it like that. We sang that hymn this morning, one of Wesley's hymns. Favoured sinners. He had a good plan toward favoured sinners. God the Son is good. He came as the good shepherd. That is how he is described. If you want to know the very essence of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, it's just conveyed in that word to us. He is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what we're remembering tonight at this table. We remember the goodness of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life on Calvary that his sheep might be saved. If you want to know a little bit about the goodness of God explained doctrinally, just get to the cross. And that's why it's good for the Lord's people to be often at this table, because it's at this table where the verbal word becomes the visible word, and we come to a deeper appreciation of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit is good. In what way? In that he reveals to us the goodness of God to our hearts. And he enables us to taste and see that God is good. There is one good. The Lord Jesus could say, there is none good but one, that is God. And that goodness, it's all encapsulated and demonstrated in the grace and the goodness of God to his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. How good was God to remember you and I in our low estate. When others would have passed us by and trampled us down, God in grace reached down into the very pit, into the very miry clay itself, and he lifted us. How good is God? The devil loves to promote the lie that God is not good because of the misery in this world below. But the misery in this world is caused by sin. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. Sin is the cause of the misery in this world. If there's anything of mercy, if there's anything of grace, if there's anything even of common grace amongst unconverted people in the world, it's because of the goodness of God. We can say absolutely tonight that our God is a good God. And that's the basis of all our experience of saving faith with him. But secondly, let's consider the goodness of God as needing to be inwardly experienced. It's quite amazing that souls which have been inwardly quickened by God's Spirit are enabled to taste the goodness of God. Taste it. Actually taste the flavour of it. Actually taste the goodness of it. Actually experientially within their own hearts and within their own lives come to an understanding of it. God is able to communicate his goodness. That's a wonderful thing. God is able to communicate his goodness that you and I can experience it. We all experience the goodness of God, whether you're saved or unsaved. We're all beneficiaries of common grace. But the Lord's people experience saving grace, sanctifying grace, that special grace that sets them aside. And it's quite one thing for you to hear somebody else sing about it and somebody else testify about it, for you to come to experience it yourself. And that's what the invitation is tonight. You come. You come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Of course, we have to say tonight that the taste of the unconverted is not for the goodness of God. That's the sad reality. The unconverted have a palate that the Christian does not have, because the unconverted have a palate for evil and for sin and for wickedness, and to follow on after the devil and the things of the world and the things of the flesh. But the Christian has a different appetite, because once the Christian has tasted and seen that God is good, what will they desire? They'll want to taste more. Once you've tasted and seen that God is good, what will happen? You'll want to experience more. Once you've tasted something, a really tasty dish, well, you'll go back and say, well, could you do that again? You'll want to taste more. But the unconverted know nothing about that. I think maybe over this Christmas period, of all the things that you've tasted, but there's no taste like the goodness of God. And you can drink at the broken fountains of the world, and they're bitter and they're poisonous to your soul, but the devil can put sweeteners in them. The devil can put the sweetener in the bottle. But you know that bottle's going to poison you. And that bottle is going not only to poison your soul, it's going to poison your mind. It's only the goodness of God can save you from it. Sin destroys the ability of an individual to comprehend that which is good. You know, if you've been eating a wrong diet, and somebody sets before you a wholesome good meal, you look at that wholesome good meal and you'll not appreciate it. You'll go back to the bad diet, but you don't know anything else. And that's exactly what the unconverted are doing. They don't know how to taste mercy. They don't know how to taste goodness. They don't know how to experience goodness. So they go back to the devil's fare. Is that you tonight? Are you where the prodigal was all those years ago? You feed at the very trough of the swine of the world to feed your own appetite. Your own ungodly appetite. But with a different dish to put before you tonight, the goodness of God. I rejoice that this goodness of God, it's offered freely. It's offered freely in the gospel. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Just receiving him. It's through the new birth that sinners acquire a new taste. It's through the new birth that sinners then experience the desire to know more of the goodness of God. It is something that's deep down in the soul. And it has to be deep down in the soul before you come to spend eternity with God. It's through faith in Christ alone that the soul is enabled to taste that grace of God that enables them to say, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, it's good when the minister, I always like to pronounce somewhere on the Sabbath day, the apostolic blessing. Our confession teaches us that that blessing should be pronounced on the Sabbath day. And only the minister can pronounce it. In the name of Christ, blessing the people as an ambassador for Christ in the Lord's great name. But here's a blessing pronounced upon all who trust in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And if you're trusting in Christ at the start of 2021, you're already blessed. You're already blessed. Here's the great divine benediction of heaven abiding and resting upon your heart and upon your life. You, of course, need to inwardly believe in the heart and confess with the mouth to hear and see what salvation is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember that incident in 1 Samuel chapter 14 where King Saul's son Jonathan unknowingly tasted of the honey that was in the wood, not knowing that his father has said, nobody has to eat anything throughout the day. And the Bible tells us that when he tasted of the honey, his eyes were enlightened. But the rest were not enlightened, and they fainted in the way, because they didn't inwardly taste. They were afraid to taste it, because, of course, they were afraid of what Saul would do unto them. And I just wonder tonight, is there someone in the meeting, and you're afraid to taste and see that the Lord is good because of what somebody might say about you, because of what your friend might say about you, because of what your companions might do on you? If you taste it, really taste it, and inwardly taste it and sing that God is good. I said to you tonight, do not allow anyone to prevent you tasting of the goodness of God. Could we say finally how this goodness of God is urgently enjoined? The psalmist appealed to those who heard his testimony to taste for themselves. To taste for themselves. You know, we could have testimony after testimony here, week after week, but that will not convince you until you taste for yourself and until you see for yourself. We're not any less anxious in our pleading with you. I think of the wording of 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, ye have not as yet tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I think that could be said of some of you in this meeting tonight. You in this gospel meeting, sitting in those gospel pews, you have heard about the goodness of God, and in his grace and mercy he spurred you to see the start of this new year, but you haven't tasted it as yet. Why? Because you've never come to Christ. You've never repented of your sin. You've never received him as your Saviour and rested by faith upon him. You know what a tragedy it is that there's an invitation here to come and dine at the Lord's table tonight. He invites his people to come and dine. And in the gospel, the Lord gives out that invitation to come and dine. But you refuse to taste. D.L. Moody, in his Bible notes on this verse, he said, Psalm 34, verse 8, he said, men must taste of God's grace here, or they'll never taste of glory thereafter. That's the choice. And you're going to make a choice tonight. Will you taste of God's grace here, this side of God's eternity? Because if you don't taste of God's grace here, you'll never, ever experience glory hereafter. We're closing tonight where we closed this morning, just with the goodness of God, and just with the invitation of God. He invites you to come. I'm glad I have an invitation for you tonight, not as we sang in the closing hymn, the day to judgment, but to salvation tonight. But if you die as you have lived up to this point in time, you will be called to judgment. And you will give an answer why you rejected his goodness and his mercy and his grace. I don't think you'll ever be given a more apt opportunity than here and now to close in with Christ. An apt opportunity to believe the gospel, to start out a new year walking with the Lord and trusting in him. And I enjoin you tonight, do not throw away that opportunity. Don't waste it. You come by faith now to Christ and trust him as your Saviour and as your Lord. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. Let's talk to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that God in grace invites us to come and to taste of his goodness and of his mercy. Lord, we can't force people to taste